2 Kings chapter 5, we'll read the whole chapter. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from the chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Let's pray. Father, we do ask this evening that you would bless your people. Pray that you would bless them with your word, that you would, by your Spirit now this evening, speak Christ to our hearts. Help me to say only things that are true tonight that will honor the Lord Jesus. Amen. We have in this story two different countries and two different religions. We have in the story Israel, who knows the true God. Some of them, they were supposed to know the true God. The king didn't, and most of the people didn't, but they still had the testimony of God. And we have the Syrians, who worshipped idols. They didn't know anything of the gospel. They didn't have the testimony of God. They didn't know anything about salvation. They didn't know anything about deliverance from sin. And we have in the story of Naaman a picture of salvation through the Christ. As he finds that everything that he has on this earth is valueless to heal him, he finds that ten talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment will not pay for him to get rid of his leprosy. But then he finds that he can get rid of his leprosy for free. As we continue into the story, we find that somebody who is not from the Syrian nation, where they don't know the true God and they don't have the knowledge of forgiveness of sins, where they don't worship idols, we find somebody in the country who just happens to be the servant of the man of God, Gehazi. He thinks that something that Naaman had that didn't do Naaman any good at all would be something worth having. And he traded what Naaman couldn't use to get rid of his leprosy. He wanted some for himself, but it came with leprosy. And he found that in looking for the things that this world can provide, you lose what God has given. We're going to go through this story and we're going to look at these things tonight. I want you to notice something at the beginning here. Naaman is an important man. If anybody in this room ever got to stand in front of a man as important as Naaman and shake their hand, they would go around the world bragging for the rest of their life that they got to meet so and so. Naaman happened to be the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He happened to be the chief man in charge of the king's army. He happened to be a very successful man. It says he was a mighty man of valor. It says that through him the Lord had given deliverance to the Syrians. It was through him that they went around wherever the king sent them and won battles and built the kingdom. He was the kind of a man that had risen to the top of this world. Everything that this life could offer him, he had. But he also had something that the Bible always uses as a representation of sin. He had leprosy. And in spite of all the wealth and the power, the success, the place and position, in spite of everything that he had, he was a leper. And there wasn't anything that he could do about it. But one day, in one of their battles, they fought with Israel. And as a successful man that he was, they won something in that battle. They walked away with something that belonged to Israel. And one of the things that they walked away from that battle with was just a little girl. They probably took many, many, many things with them. But one thing that they took ended up in Naaman's personal house. A little girl who became a slave of Naaman's wife. And something about this little girl had something that most of the nation of Israel did not have. She believed in God. Most of the nation of Israel did not. But she did. And as she began to get to know her new family, she is going through turmoil and nightmare. She's been kidnapped. Everything that you could imagine in her life is wrong. But as she gets to know her new family, she feels sorry for her master because his sickness is killing him. And she says to his wife, "It's too bad Naaman isn't in Samaria with the prophet. Because if he was in Samaria with the prophet, he could be healed." And the thing that she says is told to Naaman. And he tells it to the king. Now the king decides, if there's anything on earth that I can do to take my top man in my kingdom and heal him of this awful disease, I will do it. And the king begins to count the things that he might pay for that healing. And the king was very rich. And he begins to load things into bags. 10 talents of silver. You know what? That's not very much, he says. I think we'll just add 6,000 pieces of gold to that. Now, if somebody would like to come up here and draw those 6,000 pieces of gold on this board. Where's my start? On that side of that line sits 6,000 pieces of gold. If those pieces of gold were up there for real, and anybody in this room were to be given one of them, you would be quite pleased with what happened that day. You would go home a rather wealthy person compared to how you came here tonight, holding in your hands one of those pieces of gold. Naaman carried 6,000 of them with him. He had the silver also. And he had 10 changes of raiment. You know, every time anybody is struggling with sin, you know what they do? When someone's struggling with sin, you know what people do? They do what Adam and Eve did back in the Garden of Eden. They make clothes. If for some way we as a sinner can get dressed in something that hides who we are, we feel better. If in some way we can cover our sin, in some way if we can do something to take away that stain that's on our lives. And so we begin creating our own righteousness to cover up the blemishes that we made. We begin doing things. We want to in some way impress God. We want to impress people. We want to wear something. We want to be something. We want to do good works. Because somehow we have to atone for our sin. And so we create clothes. Naaman had 10 pair. If you want to, we can use that to represent tonight that Naaman 10 times had succeeded in getting a religion for himself that guaranteed eternal life to him. He had all these things. And he brought them to the king of Israel, along with a letter that said, "I have sent Naaman for the purpose that you might recover him of his leprosy." Now the king of Israel, having no knowledge of the true God and no knowledge of healing, no knowledge of deliverance from sin, doesn't know what to do with something like this. All he does is think that the king of Assyria is looking for another quarrel with him. Well, the fact of the matter is, it was quite a humbling experience in the beginning for the king of Assyria to send Naaman to the king of Israel, because those two kings were not at peace. Naaman was housing in his house a captive from the nation of Israel. There was no peace between them. But he did it. Because some way, in spite of the fact that Naaman had at his fingertips 6,000 pieces of silver, 10 talents of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, in spite of the fact that he had all those things, he still had leprosy. He still had the problem of his life that he could not get rid of. So when Elisha hears the story, he says, "Send him to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel." So here comes Naaman. He's holding on to the things that this world has given him. He's holding on to his sin. He's holding on to his perceived righteousness. He's holding on to the things that he believes he has gained. He's holding on to his prestige. He's holding on to his pride. He's holding on to his position. He's holding on to everything that he believes is of value. And he comes to the prophet. And the prophet says, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will come again." Now I want to tell you something about Naaman. There's one thing that you can't be if you are the head of an army of a kingdom. You can't be a person with a heart. You can't be a person who knows what forgiveness is. You can't be a person who knows how to love. You cannot be a person who knows how to show mercy. If you're going to be the head of an army, you have to be a person who holds grudges. You have to be a person who makes somebody pay. You have to be a person who revenges. That is what an army does. They go after enemies and they kill. And somebody who is going to be successful, like Naaman was, has to be the kind of a person who doesn't have anything good towards anybody on earth. He's going to do what is in favor of his kingdom, no matter who he walks on top of. He's an important man. Now you notice when you get that kind of an attitude, anger is a problem in your life. If there's anybody here who's struggling with anger tonight, I'm preaching to you, because I think you're dealing with this issue right now. When he hears Elisha say, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean," it says Naaman was wroth. And he went away. Why was Naaman so mad when the prophet said to him, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times? I want you to stop and think about something. Naaman wasn't willing in this parable tonight. Naaman wasn't willing to admit that he was a sinner. Naaman had water in his own country. He already took baths. He had rivers in his own country. He had been in rivers before. He had seen clean water and he had seen dirty water. He knew what soap was. He had everything that a kingdom could offer. He's been sent on a wild goose chase by a little girl who's talking off the top of her head and has no clue what she's talking about now in his mind. Because he's been sent to the king, and the king couldn't help him. And then the prophet calls him, and the prophet has lost his mind. The prophet said, "Go take a bath," in Naaman's mind. That's what the prophet said, "Go take a bath." Now, anybody who knows anything at all knows you're not going to clean leprosy up with a bath. Naaman has been fooled. He's in enemy territory with the hopes that he might find healing for himself. He's been fooled. They're playing games with him. And he's angry. But the fact of the matter is, he wasn't being played games with. And this is the essence of Christianity. It is the essence of all true religion from the day of creation until the present day. And it always will be the essence of true religion as long as earth stands. The gifts of God are free. Naaman can't buy the healing of his leprosy with 6,000 pieces of gold. He can't buy it with 10 changes of raiment. He can't buy it with anything. In fact, Naaman's got a double problem here right now. Because not only did Naaman at this point, he's finding out that his currency doesn't work at the cross of Calvary. It can't get him anything. He's not only finding out that it is not available, it won't buy him what he wants, but he's also finding out that it actually has no value at all. He's actually not only finding out that it won't purchase healing, but he's finding out that in and of itself, for anything at all, it's garbage. It's worthless for living. It won't do anything for him. And now he's supposed to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And he came all the way across the country to dip in somebody else's river. But you know what? As the scripture says, the proud don't get saved. Those who have something to hold on to can't be saved. But the little guys who have nothing to hold on to can understand salvation. The humble ones who can bow at the foot of the cross with nothing to offer to God can find salvation. And so his servants know something that he doesn't know. And his servants turn to him. And say, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it?" If Naaman had driven up to Elijah's door with all his prestige and power and riches, if he had driven up to Elisha's door and Elisha had said, "My services are awesome, but my price is high. What do you have?" Naaman would have said, "I have 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, and I will pay all of it for healing." And if Elisha had looked at him and said, "Well, I usually charge more than that, but I'll let you get away with it today," he would have handed the whole thing over. And he would have gone home. And he would have bragged for the rest of his life to everybody he knew about how important he was and how much money the king spent on his doctor bill and the value that he got, the recovery of leprosy. He would have tucked that into his pocket. He would have hung that on the walls of his heart. But his servant said to him, "If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean." Is there anybody here who fully understands the simplicity of the gospel? When Jesus hangs on the cross with the blood dripping out of his side, you can't do anything to get it. But to those who are willing to crawl up to the cross and stick their head under his blood, amid the jeering and the laughing crowd, and let a drip of the blood of the Son of God fall on your life, can be clean. Throw your changes of garments away. Throw your gold in the garbage. Throw your accomplishments in the garbage. Throw your righteousness away. It's garbage. Throw your achievements away. Throw your obedience away. Throw everything away you've ever done and come to the cross as nothing but a sinner who can only receive a washing from God as a gift. So Naaman did it. It says, then he went down. In Isaiah chapter 66, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." God says to the whole human race, What are you going to give me? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What are you going to do for me? Are you going to build me a house to live in? I own all this stuff. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. The one who comes to the cross trembling with nothing to offer to God is where Naaman came to. When he came to this point, in this moment of his life, when he listened to his servants, and it says, then he went down. Down on his knees. Down to the river. Down to obedience. Down to faith in Christ. Down with himself. You know, when Naaman went down into the river, his changes of garments stayed on the shore. When Naaman went down into the river, his gold stayed on the shore. When Naaman went down into the river, his silver stayed on the shore. His chariot parked on the shore. His horses were on the shore. His servants were on the shore. And just one little naked man went into the river. That's how you come to God. And he went into the river with nothing but his leprosy. That's all he took with him. And he dipped. And he dipped. And he dipped. And he dipped. By the time he came up the seventh time, in the figure here, he was a new man. He was born again. It says his flesh came to him as the flesh of a little child. Naaman was an old man, an older man at least. But now he has the skin of a new baby. He's a new man. He got something that only God could give. And now he comes back up out of the water. And he goes back to the prophet. And he says, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Now he wants to give Elisha something. But Elisha has one more thing to share with him here. Not only could those things not heal him, not only were they worthless in paying for anything, but God can't ever do anything with that garbage from the world. You can be all done with it now, Naaman. We're not receiving any of your stuff. Salvation is always free. You can't ever do anything. To give God something, some form of payment, or anything, of anything that this world has for that salvation. It will always be free. But you know, standing there in that crowd at that moment, there was another man. Somebody I think that the prophet Elisha had worried about many times. Somebody I think that wasn't walking with God. And when Naaman walks away, and Elisha hears Gehazi follow, he says, there goes Gehazi to get what I gave up to follow Elijah. You remember when Elisha was called to follow Elijah? Elisha made a break with everything that this world had to be Elisha's servant. Now Elisha has as one of his servants a man who hasn't made that break with the world. Gehazi still loves the things that exist around him. Gehazi's eyes had been big when Naaman had been there, when he had seen the things that Naaman had brought. And Gehazi said, I think I would like to have a few of those things. And I'm pretty sure I have a golden opportunity to get it. Does this remind you of anybody? Judas? Judas? Did Judas do the same thing when salvation was right there at his fingertips? When Jesus was going to hang on the cross and the blood was going to run out of him to pay for the sins of the whole world, and Judas wanted silver? So Gehazi goes and he says to Naaman, Elias, there's a couple of prophets come to my master. Could you give them a talent of silver and a couple of changes of garments? Now Naaman is happy to do so. He doesn't mind. So he hands the things over to Gehazi, who goes and he takes them and he puts them in his house. I stand here tonight to testify to every person who is sitting in this room that if the things of this world are what you love, then the death and the sin that comes with them is going to be your finish. If the things that this world can offer your soul are the things that you're going to pursue with your life, then the consequences of that sin are also coming with it. And Gehazi comes back to Elisha. And Elisha says to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he says, I didn't go anywhere. And Elisha says to him, it's not time to take payment for salvation. Therefore, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Which one of these things do you guys want tonight? On the one side of this board is the cross of Christ, where salvation is offered to the entire world for free. On the other side of this board are heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of everything that the world offers to mankind. I want you to notice two things about these two choices in life. One, you can't pay for salvation. The cross is free. But the devil comes and he stands on the other side of the line and he says the same thing about everything that he offers. You know, when the devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he didn't come saying, did God give you all these trees of fruit for free? Listen, come over here and eat out of this tree and I'll charge you $10. He didn't say that. He said to Eve, you can eat of this one freely too. That's what he said. But I am here tonight to tell you that anybody who is going to come to the cross is going to have to come to the realization that this whole ball that we live on and everything on it is garbage. When you turn to the cross, you leave that silver on the shore. You leave the gold. You leave your own righteousness. You leave your own abilities. You leave your own hurts. You leave the needs you have. You leave everything that stands between you and God on the shore, and you walk into the river with nothing because salvation is free. But you know what? It works exactly the other way too. When Naaman decided that he was going to pursue somewhat of that stuff that Naaman had that didn't do Naaman any good, he left the cross behind. When Naaman turned to the riches that when Gehazi turned to the riches that Naaman had, he found that the curse that was on the life of a sinner came with it. He found that the leprosy that Naaman had, that Naaman couldn't get rid of with all of his riches, came with those things. And he lost the healing that Naaman gained. Those who want to experience salvation, this is how you do it. You come up to the cross and you bow down on your face before the one who is hanging there with a complete rejection of anything that ever you held on to in your life, with a complete rejection of all righteousness that you can claim. Family, being servant of the king, having the best household in Syria, driving the best chariot in Syria, having better rivers than the River Jordan. Everything that you hold on to, you leave it behind, and you crawl up to the cross amid a whole world of jeering, laughing people who are not only going to laugh at the person who is hanging on the cross, but who are going to laugh at the person who is kneeling at the cross. And you come there with everything in this world rejected behind you. And you let the blood drip on your soul. And you let the world laugh at you. And you let the Jews talk about the fact that you've now been defiled and need to go home and stay separate because you have blood on you. And you need to go home and be unclean and take a shower. But when you get to the cross and the blood has touched you and you stand up, you're not dirty anymore. And in fact, the holy God of heaven can't see a single spot on you because now you are clean. How much do you want to pay for that? What's it worth? What would you give? You can't buy it. The rich can't buy it, and the poor can't buy it. But every single person who is alive on this earth tonight can have it for free if they'll just dip in the Jordan. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything besides receive it. Because it is God's gift. Go wash in the Jordan, and thy flesh shall come again. That is the gospel that we preach. That is the gospel of the Bible. That is the gospel of Christ. Is the truth, the eternal truth of God. Salvation is free. If anybody wants to be saved, the gifts of heaven are free. But if you are going to come to the cross to receive those gifts, you are going to have to walk away from everything that you believed had any value in life, and you're going to have to leave it behind. Because it doesn't work. That currency doesn't pay for anything at the cross. It's not only not accepted there, it is disdained there. It is garbage. your righteousness. Those 10 changes of garments that Naaman had with him. That's the thing that the human race holds on to more than anything else. I've got clothes. I did something. I earned something. I fought through something. I did something for God. I impressed God. I gave Him something. You gave Him nothing. You can't give Him anything. And if you ever did give God anything for salvation, you need to get down on your knees tonight and repent and apologize to God for offering some form of payment for His Son. Your money is worthless. Your righteousness is worthless. Your holiness is worthless. The things that you can do to make God happy with you are worthless. And I'll tell you what stands in any person's way who won't come to the cross. It's the same thing that stood in Naaman's way when he didn't want to dip in the Jordan. He had his pride. He said, the rivers of Damascus are better. He said, if I need a bath, I can go to the rivers of Damascus. He could have come to Golden Harvest and gone shopping. And he could have bought all the soap that we sell in our store. And he could have bought all the herbs that we have in our store. And he could have bought all the organic food we have in our store. And he could have taken them to the river. And he could have taken a bath and made himself a healthy meal. And he could have scrubbed till he was blue in the face. And he had come up out of the river with leprosy. But when he went to the river and he just dipped at the Word of God, he came up a new man. Salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.